Well, good morning,
and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Lord's Day when we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Just a few announcements before worship. We won't have a Bible study this week, but we do. We will ask you to pick up your lilies. So many people have ordered lilies, and you should have a list of those in your order of service. So please remember to pick those up after worship today. Also, those of you who are not aware, we live stream on Facebook the scripture and sermon portion of our service. And so if you're not ever in worship, you can tune in around 11:30 on Sunday mornings. But to make that work, we ask everybody to take out your cell phones or tablets or iThingies or whatever you have and put them on airplane mode, because that seems to help with the way that things work. So, thank you. Let's now be called to worship on this Easter morning. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. Let's worship our Lord as we stand and sing his praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your greatest gift of all, for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you that the empty tomb assures us that you have accepted the perfect sacrifice Jesus offered for the sins of all who trust in him. We thank you that the empty tomb assures us that all who trust in Christ will also share in his eternal life, enjoying fellowship with him now and throughout all eternity. Accept our thanks and our praise this day, even as we offer the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would take up your hymnals, our responsive reading today comes from the back of the hymnal, selection 623. A little later in the worship service, we'll be reading Luke's account of that first Easter morning. This reading comes from Matthew and John's accounts of the same day. I'll read the light-faced print and encourage you to respond with the bold. Let's read these portions of God's Word responsively. After the Sabbath, as Sunday morning was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the grave. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow.
The guards were so afraid that they trembled and became like dead men.
The angel spoke to the women. You must not be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus, who was nailed to the cross.
He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come here.
Quickly now, go and tell his disciples, he has been raised from death, and now he is going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will see him. remember what I have told you. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Peace be with you." They came up to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jews. Then Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. The Lord is risen. Let us celebrate this good news as we turn in our hymnals to selection 163, selection 163, we'll sing all four stanzas and let us stand to sing. We have sung the praise of our risen Lord. Let us now say what we believe about him using the words of the Apostles' Creed, and they're found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And it's time for our children to come forward and have a brief lesson. They can come and sit on the front row. Yes. We're going to fill up the whole row. Wow. Looks like green is the color of choice this year. No, we got blue and green. Okay. Not so much pink. We just got one pink. Pretty in pink. Okay. Wow, what a crowd. Alan, I'm telling you, you are too old for this. If you're taller than the preacher, you cannot come down for children's church. Wait. Forget that. That's everybody. Okay. I didn't get to come to the egg hunt. Did y'all have an egg hunt before church? Okay, I had to be up at Yachtna, so I didn't get to come. So you're going to have to tell me all about it. So who can tell me? Well, I'll just ask some questions, okay? How many eggs did you collect? 21, she counted. I'm impressed. Okay, were there any eggs in the parking lot? Yes? No? No, no. Okay, no. So where were the eggs? Where did you find some? Over this way? Just there was all over this way. Okay. Some years there's a special egg that has something super stupid duper in it. Was there one this year? There was? You found it. Okay. Did he find it? Everybody see the egg? Okay. All right. What have we just done? We have done an exercise in history. You have told me something that happened that I was not here to see. Right? And is everybody satisfied with what you all said was true? Okay, so why do I believe you? I wasn't here to see it. Believe you for a couple of reasons. Number one, you were eyewitnesses. You were there. You participated, right? So I can believe you because you were there and you saw it and you did it. And there's another reason why I'm going to trust you all, and that is because I know that you're truthful, honest people. Well, that's what we have to do when we read about things like the resurrection of Jesus. We listen to people who were there, who saw, who participated, and we believe them because they're trustworthy, because they're honest. And so, when we celebrate the resurrection today, we can celebrate for the same reason that I'm celebrating you all had such a good time at the egg hunt, because something really great happened. And I know that you saw it, and I believe what you say. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for the resurrection of Jesus that we celebrate today. And we thank you for reliable witnesses who have told us about Jesus. And we thank you that we can know they're honest people because they were there. We pray that you would help us to believe in Jesus and trust in Jesus and love him with all our heart. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for coming. That's a good question. We're going to stay here and take up our hymnals and continue our celebration of the resurrection of Christ.
as we turn to selection 165. Selection 165. Lo, in the grave he lay, and then up from the grave he arose. We'll sing all three stanzas, and let us stand to sing. You may be seated. And that is the good news. Christ is risen. And because he is risen, because he lives, we know that he hears our prayers. And because he is seated at the right hand of the Father, because he has all power in heaven and on earth, we know that when we go to him in prayer, he is able to do whatever we need. And because he died on the cross, we know that he loves us. So with the confidence of children of God, with the confidence in the love and the power and the life of Christ, let us pray. Our God and our Father, we are amazed this day at the truth that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And we thank you for what that means for us. We thank you that that means he is our King and he is our Savior. And we thank you, O Lord, that you have expressed your love and your power in this amazing way. We thank you that you call us to be in fellowship with you, in relationship with you. We thank you that you call us to worship you and to pray. And we thank you that we can be sure that our prayers are answered when we pray anything in accordance with your good and perfect will. And so, Lord, help us to pray in a manner that is pleasing in your sight. Help us to pray with hearts that are full of faith, trust in your power and your love. And help us to be faithful in prayer, O Lord, for those you've laid on our hearts, for those who are in need today. Our Lord, we pray for those who are wrestling with sickness in themselves or their loved ones. We pray for those whose bodies are in need of healing. Lord, we pray for those whose minds are not at ease today. We pray for those in despair, for those who have become discouraged. Father, we pray for those who are wrestling with besetting sins or bad habits or addictions, for those who need your power to be displayed in their lives. Lord, we ask that you would bless those who are grieving loss of loved ones, especially hard this in holiday seasons. Lord, we pray for those who are in dangerous lines of work. We pray for those who work on the river. We pray for our first responders, for our policemen, firemen, for those who work in the hospitals. Lord, we ask your blessing upon our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen, and our Marines who put themselves in harm's way that we might be safe and free. We pray for their loved ones who miss them. Lord, we ask that you would bless those who need to know Christ. Lord, we know that there are many who have not yet placed their trust in Jesus as their Savior and bowed the knee to him as Lord. And so we would be bold to pray that even this day, even through the preaching of your word, which will take place all over the world, that you would draw many unto yourself, that you would pour out your spirit anew and afresh also on those who do know Christ but who need to know him better. Fill us all, O Lord, with Jesus, that we might understand your word and that we might believe what you have said to us, that we might trust you and that we might follow you. And Lord, we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Lord is risen. God has blessed us with a Savior and a King. Let us respond to God's grace as we give unto the Lord his tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Lord, you are the giver of all good gifts, and you have given us your greatest gift that we celebrate today, the gift of Jesus Christ, died, risen, and ascended into heaven. Lord, there's no way we can repay you for such grace, and that's not what we're trying to do with these gifts. Instead, Lord, we ask that you would take these gifts as tokens of our love and expressions of our thanks, and that you would use them, indeed, that you would use us, however you will, to accomplish your will. For we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. On this Easter morning, we turn in our scriptures to Luke's account of that amazing day, chapter 24. We've already looked at Matthew's account and a little bit of John's. And so now we turn to Luke. Luke chapter 24, the verses 1 through 12. This is the word of the Lord. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they, the women, came unto the sepulchre, the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. That's God's word. May he add his blessing to us as we meditate upon it today. Well, there it is. The best news that anyone could ever hear. The Lord is risen. So, why doesn't that good news transform the lives of everyone who hears it? Why doesn't everyone who hears the message of Easter instantly become a follower of Christ? Well, how, for example, can we explain the disciples' initial reaction to what the women told them about the empty tomb? For the sad truth is that those 11 men who had been Jesus' closest companions did not meet this news with joy. Instead, those for whom his death had been the most crushing of disappointments thought these women were just telling idle tales, that they were speaking nonsense. Why is that? Why did the 11 refuse even to entertain the notion that Jesus had risen from the dead? Well, in the first place, and I suppose most obviously, it's because such things just don't happen in the real world, right? In the material world. And Jesus' disciples were nothing if not worldly and materialistic at this point in time. Remember, they had stuck with Jesus for 3 years. They had experienced his miracles. And they had come to the conclusion that he was, in fact, the Messiah their people had been waiting for. So, when he had ridden into Jerusalem a week earlier, in triumph, accompanied by joyful crowds, they were all expecting him to assume political power over the Jewish nation and lead them in a rebellion against the Romans. And they, the disciples, naturally expected to be leading figures in this new state that Jesus would use his miraculous power to set up. That's what made sense to them. Worldly power, worldly glory. the real world. Well, there are still a lot of similarly skeptical people today, aren't there? I mean, we all know folks who go through life focused on the creation rather than on the Creator. We all know folks who are only interested in what they can see and hear and taste and feel and buy and sell and own. To such materialists, this world is all there is. So when people die, well, they die. That's it. We bury their bodies and we get on with life as best we can until our turn comes around. All this talk about resurrection, well, it's nonsense to them, right? Just as Jesus' disciples thought it was. Of course, there could be another reason the disciples dismissed what the women told them about the empty tomb. It may have been because it was women telling them these things. The recent Me Too movement notwithstanding, ill treatment of women is nothing new. No, in the ancient world, women did not have anywhere near as much equality and respect as they do in modern America. In the Jewish culture of Jesus' disciples, women's testimony was not even admissible in religious courts. Instead, it was assumed that women were simply unreliable witnesses. And the fact is that many of those who continue to doubt the resurrection of Christ do so not only because they don't believe in anything supernatural. No, many of these folks also look down on Christians, the way that ancient Jews looked down on women. These skeptical sophisticates say Christianity is just a mark of being uneducated. If we only knew better, we Christians, we would reject religion as so much superstition. It's nonsense, and we're fools to believe it. Yes, all too often the good and the great of our society dismiss what Christians say about Jesus because they consider us to be among the deplorables. Like the 11 disciples, many people simply reject the message of the resurrection because of their disdain for the messengers. But let's give Peter some credit, for he did decide to take the women seriously enough to check out what they were saying. And you know, while he was on his way to the tomb, in fact, before he even got there, he pretty much dismantled most of the so-called scientific explanations of what happened on Easter Sunday. Think about it. Some modern skeptics, you know, those who don't believe in anything supernatural, they say, oh, well, Jesus didn't die. He just swooned. And he was revived after an extended rest in the cool of the tomb. Really? Look, if anybody was sure about the death of Jesus, it was the people in today's passage. I mean, the reason the women went to the tomb was to anoint the body of Jesus with spices. They knew he was dead. If anybody knew Jesus was dead, it was some of the disciples. We know that John went to the foot of the cross and saw him there. But all the people in Jerusalem knew it. All of the 11 disciples knew that Jesus, well, they knew all of it. They knew Jesus had been beaten so badly that he couldn't even carry his cross all the way to Golgotha. They all knew that he had lost so much blood that it was a miracle that he survived long enough to be crucified. They all knew that a Roman soldier had pierced his side with a spear just to make sure he was dead. And they knew all of this because crucifixions were public events. They were intended to terrorize the population into obedience to Roman rule. The fact that the disciples dismissed the news of the empty tomb out of hand proves they gave no credence to a swoon theory. They knew Jesus had really died. Well, you know, other modern intellectuals say what the ancient Jews believed, and that was that Jesus' disciples made it all up. They had stolen the body and then lied about him rising from the dead. Really? Look, if anyone had been involved in such a body snatching, it would have been Peter. So if he and the rest of the 11 really had done what they say, really had stolen and really had hidden Jesus' dead body, well, when the women came and told them about the empty tomb, they would have believed them because they would have been the ones who emptied it. Peter certainly would not have needed to take a trip down to the tomb to check things out. And he certainly wouldn't have been amazed, wondering, and astonished at what he saw there, or rather, by what he didn't see. No, the modern skeptics really don't have a leg to stand on where it comes to the fact of the empty tomb. But Peter's astonishment at the tomb brings us to the second reaction many people still have to the resurrection. Yes, we've already seen that modern scientific types continue to reject the supernatural, but in our increasingly postmodern world, many folks are now more wondering, more astonished, more amazed at the idea of supernatural things than they are skeptical of them. Perhaps you know about aromatherapy or homeopathic medicine or acupuncture, these kinds of medical remedies that can't be scientifically explained, but a lot of people use them and believe in them, right? Just so, lots of folks are open to the possibility that something like the resurrection could happen. Moreover, those today who call themselves woke would never dream of dismissing the Christian faith simply because it happens to be most popular among the poor and the unsophisticated of this world. No, like Peter, many modern people are open-minded enough to at least go down to the tomb and check it out. But like Peter, while they may wonder, while they may be astonished at the possibility that, yeah, Jesus could have risen from the dead, many of these postmodern people leave the tomb astonished, wondering, but not believing, not transformed. For them, the resurrection is just another amazing, inexplicable event in history, like, for example, the storm that destroyed the Spanish Armada in 1588. So while postmodern people are often quite willing to admit the resurrection might be true, many don't believe it has any real impact on their lives. Yeah, sure, but so what? Well, why is that? Well, why didn't Peter rejoice when he saw the tomb was empty? Why wasn't he filled with joy at the possibility that Jesus might be alive? Could it be because of his guilt? Remember, on the night before Jesus was crucified, he had made a prophecy. He prophesied that Peter would deny him three times before the rooster crowed the next morning. Oh, Peter didn't believe it. He protested, "I'm going to be faithful to you, Jesus. I'm going to die with you." But he had, in fact, abandoned Jesus that night, just like all the rest of the 12. And he had, in fact, denied three times that he even knew who Jesus was. Y'all, he was afraid to admit even to a slave girl that he knew Jesus. Okay, so even if Jesus was somehow alive again, Peter didn't think it mattered to him. He'd burned his bridges, hadn't he? For all he knew, he had crossed himself off of Jesus' list. He knew he wasn't worthy to be one of Jesus' disciples. And that's the reason, one reason, why the resurrection just doesn't make that much difference to people today. Oh, let's put those smug, self-satisfied skeptics aside for a time. There are a lot of folks who know their brokenness only too well. There are a lot of folks who struggle with habits and hang-ups. There are a lot of folks who have made a mess out of their lives, their relationships. They know only too well how their desires are all too often self-destructive. They've done things they're ashamed of. and they don't see how God could possibly forgive them. Oh, they might be willing to admit that, yeah, Jesus could have risen from the dead, but they don't see how such a holy and powerful person would want to have anything to do with them. They don't think they're good enough to come to Jesus. Maybe you know someone like that. Of course, there are other people in this postmodern age that take a different tack because they believe that all truth is relative. They're perfectly willing to entertain the notion that Jesus walked out of a tomb. It's just that they think that truth is just for Christians. It's not for them. They prefer to make up their own belief system, to construct their own code of conduct, to feel good about themselves whenever they fulfill their own expectations of what it means to be good or right. They certainly don't want to become followers of Jesus because, well, they don't want to live under anyone else's authority. After all, that might mean having to change some of what they believe or some of the ways they live. Oh, they might wonder, they might be astonished at the miracles of Jesus. They might even believe that he walked out of a tomb, but doesn't mean anything to them. No. Given the skepticism of modern people, given the despair or the relativism of postmodern people, the disciples' reaction to the news of the empty tomb is perfectly easy for us to understand. It's easy to see why the resurrection of Christ is not really good news to many people today. But that's all the more reason why we need to do what the disciples refused to do at first. We need to listen to the women. For they had a completely different response to the news of the resurrection, and for a completely different reason. Why did the women believe that Jesus rose from the dead? In the first place, because of what we read in verse 8. Unlike the disciples, they remembered Jesus' words. They remembered Jesus' own prediction that he would not only be crucified, but that he would rise from the dead. They remembered his words. And the Word of God is still a good foundation for our faith today. The best witness to the person and work of Jesus Christ continues to be the Scripture. From the Old Testament, which predicts and explains why Jesus had to die and rise from the grave, to the New Testament, which bears witness, eyewitness testimony, to his life, his death, and his resurrection. If we'll just stop insisting that everything has to make sense to us, if we'll just turn away from our despair, if we'll turn away from our desire to construct our own truth, if we'll turn to the Scriptures, we will find more than enough evidence that the resurrection is true. But even that's not enough. It certainly wasn't enough for these women. For what did we find in our responsive reading of Matthew's account of the resurrection? We find that Jesus did not just send his angels to speak to the women and to remind them of what he had said. He came to them. He showed himself to them, alive from the dead. And as they took him by the feet, the very feet that had been pierced with nails on the cross, they had undeniable proof that Jesus had died and yet that he had walked out of that tomb alive. And as he showed himself to those skeptical disciples that very evening, as John's gospel tells us, as he allowed them to touch him, they had no more room for doubt. They knew. They saw, they felt the Lord risen, alive. And no matter what the skeptics may say, Jesus' resurrection is still undeniable. There's simply no other way to explain how those 11 disciples, who in our passage were so skeptical of the resurrection, would soon become willing not only to suffer, but to die rather than to deny that Jesus is alive from the dead. We have credible, reliable eyewitness testimony. And whatever those who believe in relative truth might say, if Jesus really is alive from the dead, well, that means that everything else he said about himself has to be true. If he is alive, he is the Messiah. He is the ruler of all the world who demands our complete obedience, no matter what desires we might have to the contrary. If he is alive, he is the Son of God, the one who spoke all things into existence, and the one who thus has the right to define who we are and how we live our lives. If he is alive, he is the way and the truth and the life, the only way to the Father, the only one who can restore us to a right relationship with God through his atoning death and his resurrection power. If Jesus is alive, then nothing that denies his authority, nothing that denies his divinity can possibly be true for anyone, no matter how sincerely they might believe it. Oh, but what about those who don't think they're good enough for the resurrection to be for them? What about those broken people who can't see how God would want to have anything to do with them? Well, that's the best news of all. What did we find in today's passage? Who did Jesus reveal himself to at first? It wasn't to the great and the good. It was to the women, those who polite society thought were unimportant and unreliable. And then he showed himself to those 11 cowardly, fickle, worldly disciples, the very ones who had denied him and abandoned him, and the very ones who refused to believe in the resurrection at first. In our responsive reading from Matthew's gospel, we find that Jesus was willing to come to them, even in Galilee, where he knew that in their fear and their weakness, they would run to get away from their enemies in Jerusalem. Look, Jesus did not come to the socially respectable. He did not come to the powerful and the wealthy and the successful. He did not come to the great and the good. He came to the least and the lost. He came to the weak, to the unworthy. And Jesus still comes to the same sorts of people today. He comes to those who will abandon all claims of prominence or importance and instead are willing to bow the knee to him as Lord. He comes to those whose faith may be weak. He comes to those who know they are not perfect, to those who admit that they are in desperate need of a Savior. It's to such people that Jesus comes. And it's to such people that today's news is the best we can possibly hear. The news that should fill us with great joy. That Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, is alive. He is risen from the dead. Is that good news for you? Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, break our hearts. As we come to the empty tomb, Lord, let us shed whatever skepticism we might have. Let us put aside whatever delusions of competence we might be entertaining. Let us instead fall at the feet of the one who died for us. Let us instead believe with all our hearts that he is risen, that he is our Savior, and he loves us, and that he calls to us to come to him. Oh, Lord, come to us. For we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Let's celebrate the good news. As we take up our hymnals, we'll turn now to selection 168. Selection 168, the day of resurrection. We'll sing all three stanzas and let us stand to sing. And now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.